Hello and welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. I'm Kathy Love. I started life as an OT, had an amazing, crazy private practice which I sold. And what I do now is help allied health business owners create a business that serves them, the time, the money, the joy that they absolutely deserve. And this is where my idea for the podcast started. What I want to do is to capture how hard allied health business owners in Australia work to achieve their dreams, to support their teams, to create amazing outcomes for their clients. So sit back, beverage of choice, drive safely, walk carefully, however you're listening in, and I hope you absolutely enjoy. We have Simone Dudley as our guest in conversation today. Simone is the founding director, along with Sue Cameron, of Therapy Connect. And your adventure with Therapy Connect and private practice has been pretty swift, and you've just achieved so much. And you've been on the podcast before a couple of years ago. So welcome, Simone.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you very much for having me back. What a naive business person I was when we had our first podcast all those years ago. I think it might have been 2018 even.
Yeah, it was. So you are just so much wiser in the whole adventure of business right now. So maybe take us back to those early days really, really briefly when you and Sue started a small team and really started to put the footprint down about telehealth in Australia. Let's go back to the old days.
Back to the beginning. Well, I guess, you know, firstly to acknowledge how lucky I have been to find a like-minded colleague in Sue Cameron, who has just retired. Sue and I were introduced through Sarah, actually, through our mutual interest in telehealth. And we started talking to each other as colleagues and supporting each other. Sue's a speech pathologist, I'm an occupational therapist, and pretty soon realised that we were so aligned in our thinking, in our vision for sort of wanting to increase access to quality speech and OT services to Australians, that we decided to join forces. I think it was actually after a private practice workshop with you, Kathy, that we sat in a coffee shop across the road, and
you did.
I said, how about we do it together? And yes, yeah, Sue took a minute to think about it and agreed. So what a great journey we've had.
Yeah, absolutely. And telehealth in 2018 was pretty out there. Like, who knew about that stuff?
Oh, look, and I can't tell you about the people that would kind of giggle and laugh and think, oh, you could never do that, or, yeah, you know,
that the most common,
yeah, that won't work, or it wouldn't work with my client, or you need to get your hands on the children. Our primary practice was speech and occupational therapy, early childhood, early intervention at that stage. So it was tough, and it was tough for us to problem solve, and it was also this recognition that we were entering into telepractice at a time that the evidence was emerging, and so we really needed to be part, if we were serious, we needed to really be part of contributing to that body of evidence. And so that's in fact what we did, and we set about harassing the University of Sydney.
So they said, yes, okay.
I joke about that now with Kimball Kelly and the team, but we did a pretty straightforward project with the University of Sydney that really helped us understand what was important about the components of a telehealth model, what families really wanted, what was a deal breaker, what wasn't a deal breaker. And that really was the beginning of us developing a business as a dedicated telehealth provider.
Yeah. And whilst you are an OT and Sue speech pathologist, you diversified the team quite quickly as well. Once you, as I observed, kind of nailed down the service delivery model and the supporting infrastructure, you then brought in a whole range of disciplines. What was that phase like?
Well, it was challenging. It was interesting. I guess we were responding largely to our clients' needs because whilst our clients were finding it really hard to access speech and occupational therapy services, you know, it was equally hard for them to find psychology, to find dietetics, social work, physiotherapy. And so we really didn't ever intend to set out to create a multidisciplinary team. And in some of these cases, experienced providers came to us looking for work. And so we were able to determine that growth rate at a pace where we felt we could balance the efficacy and the delivery and against what our clients' needs were. But certainly for many families, that to be able to access multiple services with one provider, I mean, you must hear this all the time, but particularly I think for clients that are either geographically isolated or their circumstances mean that telehealth is for them, to be able to access more than one service can really mean a lot.
Yeah. So what's the profile of clinicians that you've got in the crew at the moment?
So we're definitely predominantly speech and occupational therapy focused, and we have psychology, we have dietetics, we have physiotherapy. In the past, we have had a social worker, really highly skilled social worker. So, yeah, we have quite a broad multidisciplinary offering, but speech and occupational therapy are the primary cohort.
Yeah. And where are your clients?
Well, everywhere. Back in the early day, we made this wild assumption that our clients would be like us. So for those that don't know, I live on a farm in southwest New South Wales, quite isolated, and Sue also was from a farm in southwest Victoria. So I think initially we were imagining that our clients would be based in regional or remote locations, and many of them are. Of course, having an established telehealth practice through COVID has increased that profile and the awareness of telehealth. And so there are many, many markets in Australia where telehealth represents access to allied health. We have clients based in Tasmania, in metro regions, from the tip of the Torres Strait and from east all the way to west, and in every state and territory, and even some clients still overseas.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
Goodness me. So COVID came along and that provided a different way for people to work, yet you were so beautifully positioned with this work from home model, therapy wherever you are model. How did you guys track through COVID?
Oh, wow. COVID was an incredibly busy phase for Therapy Connect. The sector was really leaning on us for information and content as to how to deliver services. So we were inundated with work, inundated with therapists seeking work, and inundated with requests from the sector on how to, I suppose, adapt and adjust. Yeah. Because I can't fathom how hard it would have been for allied health practitioners to have to make that decision so quickly and make those adaptions. So there is just so much problem solving surrounding the delivery of allied health services via telehealth. So to think that one day you're running an in-person clinic and the next day you're running a telehealth clinic, I can't fathom that. So we felt a real responsibility to be able to share what we had learned. So that period of time was really spent dividing ourselves up. And in fact, all of us had other family members home as well, either working or studying. Mm. So you can imagine the, you know, the internet demand and space demands. You know, it was just no different to any other story in Australia in terms of what life was like. It was a hard, intense period of time. Thinking about, however, the opportunity that COVID created, COVID was an opportunity to demonstrate the potential of Therapy Connect for many consumers and practitioners. And so for us, it was like all of a sudden, part of our role was really building awareness of the potential of telehealth. And all of a sudden, that was a moot point because this was the delivery model.
It was the main meal.
And so we then quickly had a lot of new clients and a lot of new practitioners that we were, that we were building skills with and, supporting all families.
Yeah. And also during this time, your business continued to scale and your skills, your and Sue's skills just, you know, absolutely amplified as well. But it was also a transition phase to sell the business. Where did that thought start?
Well, that was quite unexpected. So we were approached by an organisation that we had met and we were feeling really comfortable in the values alignment. You know, Canela is the name of the organisation. They're a fabulous organisation. And, we were, I suppose, not intending to sell, but very interested in what potentially a merger would mean in terms of the ability for Therapy Connect to expand and be resourced in a way that Sue and I just didn't have the resources to be able to enable the business to, I suppose, have greater therapeutic impact, generally speaking. That's what our mission was. So, and it was a long process, but it's been a terrific process with a great group of people, and we're really looking forward to seeing Therapy Connect continue on in the next journey.
Yeah. So in this phase of selling, where were those key moments, like those key learnings, the surprises, the bits that were confronting? Where were those memorable bits?
Well, I think when I look back and think, you know, how what were the moments that probably made a big difference to the Therapy Connect business in terms of its growth? And and you've got to remember, Sue and I had the idea that we would be so excited if we could have five practitioners. You know, that would be, for us, that would be like, oh, wow, imagine. And, you know, at the moment we've got over 80 practitioners across cohorts working. So when I think back to the key moments, and this might be interesting to listeners that are in this growth, I suppose, phase of business, it was stopping clinical work. So when Sue and I both stopped our clinical work, which was quite tough to face because we both loved our clinical practice, but stopping that enabled us to really, I suppose, view our business as our client in a way. And I think that was a big turning point. Partnering with a business advisor and consultant was another terrific point in time for us, where we were really able to deepen our understanding, our confidence and our capability around knowing what we needed to do. Building up our business and financial literacy. I think investing in marketing is also really important, especially for a telehealth practice where you have a you don't have a shop front, so your effective market is national or global.
And during that sales process, I remember finding it completely fascinating. And I committed to the process to learn and to roll with it. And I got some different coaching support to kind of prepare mentally, emotionally, if you like, for whatever happened during and most importantly, whatever happened afterwards. What was the sales process like for you?
Well, it was incredibly interesting. I mean, I found that, you know, to be able to step back, I found it an incredibly interesting experience. It was all new. It was, all the steps along the way were new, from accepting an offer, from participating in an earnout period, from supporting the integration, and to be staying on in a key role as well. I think I consider myself incredibly lucky again because I didn't do it by myself. So, yeah. You know, we having a business partner to work with was a huge source of comfort, and I think enabled us to both enjoy the experience but feel sure that it was the right mm-hmm. experience. And certainly the team at Canela they're just a fantastic group of people that made it very easy, very respectful group of people. I guess our experience has been extremely positive.
Yeah, good process-based, collaborative work. So tell us a little bit about your role now with Therapy Connect within the Canela umbrella, I guess.
So I'm actually on holidays at the moment, Kathy.
You are on holidays.
I'm on holidays. can you I'm see the holiday? See,
yeah, I'm not quite seeing the Bali backdrop and the the rolling waves, but we'll hallucinate together.
I think that I've been very fortunate in that Canela have afforded me a great deal of scope to be able to pursue what I feel is my strength in order to support and continue to grow the business. So I'm going to be staying on working in a strategic growth role to support the general manager and the team. And I think what I am most excited about doing is getting back to some of that fundamentals in that research, clinical validation. Some of the things that have surprised us about recruitment that have never been an issue for us, really understanding, you know, what is it about our value proposition that drives professionals to us without us having to go hunting, and a high quality caliber of practitioner as well. So I'm really excited to have a role that fits with my interests. I love talking. I love speaking and sharing information as well, continuing to sort of talk, I suppose, about the benefits of telehealth. And in addition to that, have some time also for other pursuits that are family and personal. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Bit of travel maybe after the last little while.
Yeah.
So telehealth has really stepped into the limelight in the last couple of years. What do you think it's going to look like in the next five?
Oh, well, I just think that there's no stopping now. I think that what's really interesting from within our area of work is the microscopes coming out around engagement in telehealth and really understanding what does telehealth enable, what are the challenges of telehealth within our service delivery model. I think that telehealth just creates such access opportunity for consumers, whether it be allied health or medical. So I think with the addition of other technologies and further research, it's just going to be incredibly exciting and interesting to see, you know, where where things might land in 5 more years, especially when you consider the workforce constraints that we're dealing with, Kathy. So we need to be maximising all of our capabilities as much as possible to be able to reach consumers that need services.
An observation I've made on the back of the lockdown and the telehealth and the feeling that telehealth has been a necessity and somewhat barely better than nothing and all of this language that goes with it is that, oh my goodness, thank goodness that's gone and we never have to go back to that. And I just often, I don't always say anything too much after that, depending on who I'm listening with, but I just still see it as this sleeping giant. Why would you not progress that skill set and that service option? And why would you not want that in your business pocket? Already in Melbourne, you know, there's businesses that I know that are back to online services to keep their workforce happy and well and to keep their clients happy and well. What are your thoughts on that, that this sense of perhaps burnt and, oh, thank goodness we don't have to go back there?
Well, it comes back to the point I made earlier, Kathy. You know, we had years to problem solve workflows around telehealth. And if you had, I mean, the whole reason that we started telehealth was because we didn't have enough consumers knocking down our door in our part of the woods. So when you are in a situation as a health practitioner where you have more than enough work coming through your door, you know, what would be the reason that you would work extra hard to try and problem solve and figure some of this stuff out that's really hard? So for those that are brave enough to, or that are compelled enough for whatever reason to, where they see that value, you know, it's to, there are many, many benefits. So I understand, you know, I understand, and I think actually consumers need a choice. They need to be able to have, you know, we certainly want to be able to choose to have in-person or telehealth services as an option, maybe both. So I fully understand those practitioners that are tired.
Gather around, dear listeners, for a moment of sheer audio delight. You may have heard, but we love to chat with allied health business owners. We get inspired hearing about your aspirations, the challenges you face, the roadblocks that get in your way, and business realities. So we invite you to book a free power call with a Naker Consulting business specialist, regardless of where you're at in business. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed or overworked or overjoyed. We're here for you, and we'll meet you exactly where you are, judgment-free. It's okay to book a second or even a third call. We're always keen to hear all your news. Book a free power call with us today at naker.com.au/free-power-call. Let's get the convo ball rolling. Now it's time to get back to our regularly scheduled banter.
Running a business isn't just about setting up shop and becoming complacent. It's about showing up for ourselves and our clients with a commitment to continuous improvement. We have to be honest with ourselves about where we're at and where we're going. That means identifying strengths and weaknesses so we can improve. After all, if we're remaining stagnant, how can we scale and build the business and life of our dreams? That's where the NACAR Consulting Allied Health Biz Quiz comes in. We're not talking horoscopes and horsetopia. This questionnaire is the perfect starting point for you to begin identifying your strengths, needs, and blind spots as an allied health business owner. The process is simple. Answer the 14 questions and we'll send you a personalized report that includes actionable steps for you to start taking your business to the next level. Ready to take your business into your own hands? Take the NACAR Consulting Allied Health Biz Quiz today.
Would you sort of agree that it's still got a way to go and it's still a really valid part of service, a really valid service delivery option for, you know, allied health business owners serving both children and teens and adults?
I think that there is definitely a role for telehealth to feel part of the it's part of the solution of the shortage of access. I think as a consumer, do I want telehealth? It's not often, you know, I think what I want as a consumer is the best practitioner, and I want to be working with the best person, the person that has the skill set that I need. And I think one of the aspects in our model that we have worked so hard with is this notion of matching consumer need to practitioner skill set and interest. Mm-hmm. And so our clients, as they come through, will be matched to the best candidate that we have in the time that suits the client. And I think that as a consumer, you know, for me, that's the level of, you know, I want the best. I want the greatest level of expertise. And so I am more than comfortable with accessing that expertise online if the efficacy, if the evidence is there that this is the right approach and that provider has the skills to deliver a service and I've got a great relationship with them. You know, there are so many factors. But I think consumers will become more sophisticated and work through these points. And in fact, the consumer will lead the way because they will ultimately choose.
Yeah, and set those expectations. What's included in the undergrad training at the moment?
Well, it's a good question, Kathy. A lot, as far as I know, a lot more than there was when we started. So I think this is a really good question, and probably different universities will have different focuses. Certainly we get asked to guest lecture, and we really enjoy talking to students. Every year I do a lecture with the University of Sydney and have this opportunity to talk to them and myth bust some of at a student level when they're so digital, you know, savvy as students.
Digital natives,
some of their myths around, what's possible and what's not with telehealth with our client cohort in any case. So,
what do you think the appetite is for it in the emerging early career clinicians?
I think this is a good question too. Our view that we've held right from the beginning has been that we really need a high degree of clinical competency to be able to deliver a great product via telehealth. So we have been in a position where we've expected years of experience before we will, I suppose, hire a practitioner. In a couple of instances, we've had some exceptions to the rule. I think that it's also because it's not easy operating in a telehealth environment. You know, you're trying to join the dots between context and assessment and goal setting. Excuse me. And I think that this clinical competency is, it's been highlighted as being such a fundamental piece to the success of a quality health service with telehealth. So that level of experience is something that we've both, you know, expected but also required. However, you know, where there is a will, there's a way, and I think that depending upon the cohorts that early stage career allied health professionals might be working with, there's certainly going to be more and more supports available to help them with their telehealth journey.
Yeah. I think it'll be fascinating to watch that as undergraduates come out with this, with some working knowledge, potentially even, you know, more working knowledge than some of their teammates in their sort of first work placements, and sort of looking around saying, well, where's the telehealth piece? You know, we've been trained in it. Where is it? Why don't you do it? And we don't want that curiosity and that emerging skill set to kind of be snuffed out too early because the infrastructure or the direction, the supports aren't there. Just when the universities, you know, add something into the curriculum that's so relevant to the current commercial environment, we don't want it to disappear, I don't think.
No, that's true. Very true. And I think that emerging technologies are changing so rapidly as well. So it's really important to keep up and abreast with what's available.
I think the tech, the hardware and the software is also going to the word I'm trying not to say is radicalized, but that I don't know that that's the best word. We might need to chop that bit out. But, you know, the augmented reality, the virtual reality, all of that could well change up the whole essence of it as well. But once again, that's back to the access, isn't it? It's not as though consumers can invest in that level of hardware and software just because the OT thinks it's a good thing to be doing right now.
It's always been a significant barrier, I think, any custom hardware, which is why we have always tried to adapt our clinical approach to be as accessible for consumers, mainstream technology, and really focus on context and what's going on in the client's environment, and really applying that sort of clinical judgment and clinical analysis to support client goals with primary caregivers. So, but I am excited by innovations and technology. And I think that there are a lot of opportunity that might sit outside a clinical session, but support a clinical session, for instance.
Yeah, yeah. So when you're back from holidays, and back in the chair at Therapy Connect in your new, more strategic role, where do you think TC is going to be going in the next year or two?
Well, I think that we will largely be continuing to track the way we have been, probably with the added investment into some of the really important building blocks and new learnings that will drive, I suppose, future thinking with telehealth. I think it's a really exciting time to be, and also to be through, I suppose, to have the time now to be dedicating towards, building on what we already have.
Yeah. And one thing that we sort of spoke about a little before we hit record is just how your role has emerged from occupational therapist to business owner to team leader, releasing the clinical, really stepping up to drive the business, and now in a more strategic role in a larger environment. When you reflect on that, what runs through your mind?
Oh gosh. I just feel like my overwhelming feeling is just how fortunate I've been to I suppose be persisting on a really interesting project in the era that I have been. And it's the persistence and the problem solving that ultimately is what, probably underpins that hard, constant work is what's probably underpinned the journey. It's incredibly exciting. I mean, I was actually looking at some statistics the other day, and I think back to May in 2016, there were two of us, and we delivered in a month 16 sessions. So there were 6 OT sessions and 10 speech pathology sessions. And in May 2022, we delivered 3,129 sessions to over 1,119 clients, and that was over 70 practitioners. And so what a journey. You think about, what has it taken. I don't know. I think I need more time to reflect. But it has been it's been a lot of fun, and I'm incredibly proud of what we've done and the impact that we, I suppose, have created for consumers ultimately.
Mm. You mentioned persistence. What has that really looked like day in, day out for you in the last few years?
Mm. Oh, gosh. It has looked like sometimes someone who was just working 6 or 7 days a week.
we won't tell anyone. Who,
yeah, I know. Someone who you know, I've always really enjoyed networking, and I think networking is has been also one of those points that have really both shown me new, but also created a great collegial kind of network that you can, I suppose, draw from. But persistence, it has just been a lot of hard work, and probably Sue and I would say we certainly didn't do anything easy. You know, it's not easy running a telehealth practice. But incredibly rewarding, and I think sort of what sustains you is this belief that you know, you put yourself in the consumer's position and you think, well, you know, that's your why. Your why is because you want the same level of access to the great people that, yeah, for yourself and for your family. So
yeah.
Probably that's, yeah, driven the persistence.
Yeah. Where have been the darkest moments other than the internet?
Oh, look, I think any business owner would, that's a reasonably new business owner, would have moments where they've questioned their own capability. And I think, you know, have you got the right skills? Are you asking the right questions? Is this the right move? Probably those moments where you're really reflecting hard on that would be, yeah, what I would consider. And again, I just feel so grateful that I wasn't sort of on this journey solo.
What's Sue up to right now?
Well, she's at the beach.
She is at the beach.
Yeah, very happy. She's a new grandmother and she's very, very excited to be starting her retirement.
Oh, literally rocking the baby. Oh, yeah, send her my regards. Well, That's great. Mm-hmm. So what are your closing thoughts on all that you've learned, all that business has taught you?
Well, I'm so proud to be an occupational therapist, and I think that what a great, what an incredible career being an occupational therapist has been for me. And I have such a soft spot for 99.9% of occupational therapists that I met.
It's a very special DNA.
Yeah, it is. And I just think that occupational therapists are also so, you know, the way that we're taught to think holds us in such great stead, I think, in understanding and analysing the components of a business. And so, yeah, I think that as speech pathologists, but I really think that task analysis and the way that OT is taught to think is, yeah, it has certainly helped me. And I think that that's something that Sue's often spoken about in our journey as well.
As a point of difference between the two of you, you each bring different strengths.
Yeah, I think so. Yep. Well, you're absolutely right, Kathy. We're a bit yin and yang, and I think that's another, you know, how lucky were we that we were in a position where we had most bases covered by either of us. But I think, so parting comments, I just think what a great time it is to be an occupational therapist.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for coming back and sharing up the next chapter. I wonder what we'll be talking about next time.
I don't know, Kathy, but I'm looking forward to the next time.
See you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. For the show notes and other resources, our webinar replays, they're all available over on naker.com.au. And if you're loving what you're listening to, please subscribe. We don't want you to miss out on a single thing. And if you want others to get the same benefit that you've had from listening into these episodes, please share this episode and any of the others forward to any of your other allied health business colleagues. And we are totally here for you. Don't forget for a moment that you can jump on in and book that power call, and we can see how we can help you get the best of business done. Looking forward to seeing you there.